Got no time. Gotta work.
No time.
No time.
No time for fun.
No time for games.
No time for living.
No time to get into nature like I want to.
Got too much on my plate.
Hello, everyone. Yeah. We're singing because we had such a... Usually we sing when we have a really good time.
We've been singing a lot.
We've been doing It's been a good time. Welcome back. My name is Catherine.
My name is Will.
And this is Behind the Pixel. It's an Open Pixel podcast where we try to bridge the knowledge gap between those who buy creative content and those who make it. So we have just gotten off of a really, really wonderful interview with Mark Cernozia. He has done a lot of things.
Yeah, he's doing a little too much, maybe.
Maybe. But it's all for... I feel like it's all for a good cause. The greater good.
It's all for a good cause. You know what I think? I feel like... You know, when I heard him talking, I imagined a tree. He's like a big tree, just like trying to expand his branches in like as many parts of the industry as he can, just to feel out what's happening and like make people.
But he's also like
excited about it, I think.
Yeah, and to your point there, like he's like a root. He's like a staple.
He's like a root. Yeah, he's a big root
that's growing. So he's doing a lot of really wonderful stuff that we really admire.
I'll give a little rundown. Yeah, he's the owner of Profanity Creative. They do a lot of amazing 3D work, mainly I think for outdoor brands. I think is how he described it.
Yeah.
He runs this thing called Monday Meetings. Every Monday they get together and talk through. It's a really interesting community. I would check it out. I won't ruin what it is. You'll have to listen to the episode to get that. And he also does this thing called Camp MoGraph, which is where, you know, we initially first sort of in person met Mark. We did a little Camp MoGraph bonus when we did it last year. So if you haven't heard that, you can go hear that bonus little thing that we put together. And really it was just sounds of camp because we didn't do too much because it was just so immersive and so much fun. So yeah.
Yeah. So we had a really in-depth conversation. I think he's so good at being just like open and honest and transparent about what's going on in his life and what's happening in the industry and how he can be a support and where he might also need to take a step back. And a lot of the things that he was talking about, I think we could also really relate to. A lot of the experiences that he shared are like, it feels like we're running parallel in different ways.
I feel like a lot of company owners are running this, and creative company owners, but maybe,
But it was cool to hear from his perspective how he approaches things and navigating wearing many different hats and kind of just navigating the animation industry as it is today. So yeah, this is really a great interview for anyone who's either, you know, a freelancer or a creative owner or just curious about the animation industry and what's going on there. Also talking from a client perspective, like how we navigate client relationships and partnerships. So yeah, I think anyone can take away something from this. So yeah, we hope you enjoy and let's dive in.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Doing great. Doing great. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on, man. I've been wanting to talk to you. I mean, obviously, we could have talked offline and not publicly, but I think it's important to ask you some questions because you're at the forefront of a lot of different conversations. And I'm not sure you realize, but maybe you do realize, and I'm just kind of catching up. I've been really digging the podcast, Monday Meeting.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in a bit. And I think we met at Camp MoGraph. Usually we have folks come in who are clients, who are people that we know who are advisors or folks we worked with. But I think that experience kind of just gave us such a wonderful, like, fulfilling feeling. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, we need to talk to this guy more. So it's been really, really cool. We just told you we're traveling. We're also meeting other Camp MoGraphers.
Oh, cool.
Which is also cool. Yeah. Going to see Austin, I hope, down in Phoenix the next time.
Right on.
Arizona. Cool.
One thing that I've noticed from the work that you do is that you're you know, for me as an owner, I'm like, I have a hard enough time focusing on one thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you do a lot of stuff. So can you tell our audience who might not know you a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and, you know, and a little bit about Profinity Creative too?
Yeah, sure. I run a small shop here in Burlington, Vermont, called Profinity Creative. And we focus on 3D product visualization for the outdoor and lifestyle industries. My roots are in, or I should say, come from like the skateboarding and snowboarding world. And so growing up and, you know, making videos and following that passion for quite a while led me down this path. And now I'm focusing my business within this industry because I do know this industry better than any other one. And it's always fun to work with product and the different product engineers and marketing departments, formulating different ways to really showcase new technologies, new products, new features of old products and whatnot. So it's been super rewarding. I've worked with some great brands, super fortunate to do what I do. And that doesn't go lost on me, although sometimes it's you're in the heat of the battle. But other than that, I do two other things that started as personal projects and have grown into something a little bit bigger than that. One is Camp MoGraph, like you mentioned before, and that started, we're actually going into our fifth year. So it started back in 2019. Here in Vermont, we had our first one. And essentially, if you don't know what camp is, it's a long weekend. I like to call it kind of like a retreat rather than a conference. The main theme of it is disconnect to connect. Mm-hmm. We are on screens all day long. We sit behind screens all day long doing our work. That it's very rare that we leave all that behind and can really just immerse ourselves within an experience. And being able to do that at camp with like-minded people who work in the same industry, have a lot of common interests, really allow you to, you know, disconnect in the best way with other people and really get to know them, get to talk shop, get to really expand your network in a deeper way than I've seen at other conferences. And how I've experienced other conferences as well. And then the final thing I have going too is this weekly call that I do called Monday Meeting. And that's mondaymeeting.org where you join it. And it's just a weekly Zoom meeting. And it's a wide-ranging discussion of various topics from week to week. We'll have guests sometimes. We'll have project breakdowns sometimes. But a lot of it is just an open discussion with the community and what people are dealing with or challenges they might be facing. And it's a great way to essentially crowdsource our community and ask these questions that you might not know the answer to. So we do those live every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern. We record them and then we put out a recorded release after. And that is more or less just to, you know, get the reach out a little bit further. But people who didn't make the live meeting were always asking, is there a recording somewhere where I could listen? So we started turning that into like just an audio podcast, but that's now been going since 2018. So quite a few seasons. I think we're in season 7 right now.
Yeah, really.
But it's great.
It sounds like a lot of people have had quite the experience over the last, what, six or seven years here.
Yes.
So I'm sure there's been a lot of really interesting conversations that have come through.
I've been lucky enough to bring Jen Van Horn into the mix and help out with co-hosting that. And it's been great. And we've seen the engagement go up and we've seen our podcast numbers go up. And it's just so cool to, you know, be able to essentially provide this platform for artists to get on and talk shop.
100%. I think I want to vouch for this community because it really does feel like creative AA. This is how I've explained it a bunch of times this way. And like, I've never been to AA, but I'm assuming you, you know, you get in a circle, you talk about what's on your mind, and like, you kind of get this like release, and you know, other people chime in and they feel good because they're helping. They're connecting because you're, you know, they're probably resonating with something that you're saying and things like that. And so I feel like it's just that for folks who are doing the creative work. And it's been so great. So if you're an artist, even if you're not an artist, I would say go check it out. At least attend one live just because it's really interesting to, you know, put your hand up and contribute. And that always felt good. So I'm going to try to get to more of those. We've also been super busy and trying to, you know, do the podcast and also work.
Yeah. It's kind of hard.
juggling a camp. I'm that's probably a whole other level of crazy. So I want to dive into a little bit of your knowledge in these sort of three areas that you're talking about, but let's start with like client work, because you've been working with a bunch of brands. We work with a lot of brands. It's a lot of like, I don't want to say corporate necessarily, but it's all, it's branded material. It's branded content for business purposes. I'm wondering what kind of common mistakes have you seen clients make that are looking to get this type of work done? In your experience?
Yeah, I mean, great question. And I see a lot of confusion. I see a lot of questions. And this is, I think, stemming more from being in the 3D world. If I've done 2D projects, you know, broadcast projects and stuff like that, the amount of handholding and education on those type of projects is nowhere near the 3D stuff. I think 3D to a lot of brands and clients, it's this big black box where I tell you what I need and this Pixar movie comes out the other side.
Right.
And so, you know, my biggest challenge there is that education part and really taking the time out of the busy schedule to give the education to the clients, because if they don't know what they're asking, then you're going to just be, you know, getting caught in scope creep. You're going to be, you know, treading water through multiple phases, or definitely stifles the progression of the project when they just don't know what's happening. So the education has always been a very like integral part of my process. Now, I will throw you a curveball with this, though.
Bring it.
And this is something that just happened last year at the end of 2023. This has always been my MO. Education, I got to teach these people, really let them know what the workflow is all about. A lot of times I'll equate it to like a house. Once we're painting the walls, you can't tell me you want another room on the house, you know, and stuff like that. Mm. But what happened this past year, and I want to almost chalk it up to 2023 just being a weird year, was that a lot of this education kind of came back to bite me. I gave a lot of this education away, right? I educated my clients. And then I saw that project posted online with a lot of the knowledge and things that I had given the client. I don't know if they took it to a different studio and brain dumped all of my information there, or if it gave them enough ammo to have conversations with other people. But that was the only time I've ever had this education part of my client interaction come back to kind of bite me in the butt. It made me very frustrated.
I could totally feel that, because like I can't even imagine, because it's I mean, it's, well, I guess I can't imagine. I think it's the idea that like we invest so much time and love and care into the client with the intention of like, we want them to be a partner. We want them to be somebody that we can work with over time. And like, I want to make sure that in our client relationships that they never feel like just a transaction.
Yes.
And so that's where it comes back to me to kind of see that happening. I'm like, oh, it feels like you were treated as a transaction rather than like an equal partner. And so totally get that feeling. It sucks. Yeah,
that does suck.
And one thing that I have always put at the forefront of everything that I do with clients is that I want to be a partner, not a vendor.
Right.
Right. Yep. Like, And that's part of the reason why I go so deep with some of this education is I'm going to commit my time and energy and like my knowledge to you because I see this as a partnership and I don't see this as we're going to do one project and then I will never hear from you again. I don't know if someone's going to, you know, essentially take it and then leave. Those aren't the clients I want to spend time with anyway. So having to kind of, you know, ground myself and really look at that big picture took a little bit of self-discipline to do that. But I think it was a blessing in disguise.
Definitely. Yeah. I wonder, since we're on this kind of train of challenges a little bit, being fellow New Englanders.
Yeah.
I wonder if you've experienced challenges on a regional front, like if you've had, you know, because you mentioned that you're specifically working with lifestyle brands and outdoor recreation. I'm curious if that comes from just sort of naturally being in Vermont. And we can have a whole debate later about whether or not Okemo is a good ski slope and like I've been there a number of times. So, but yeah, I'm curious what sorts of challenges you've dealt with on whether it's the client side or just, you know, being a studio owner in New England, like what challenges you've run into there and how you might have, you know, overcome them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a great question. It is challenging because there really isn't much, like I'm here in Burlington and we have some post studios. We have some great outdoor brands and stuff around, but the scene here is very small compared to like a city or, you know, even just California in general, right?
Or Boston, I would say.
Or even Boston, yeah. Boston. So it has been challenging in that sense, but, you know, I've been doing this pre-COVID, right? Like working remotely, working with brands remotely. I guess this is one of the best things to come out of COVID. People don't even balk at the idea that you're not in that same city anymore or that state anymore. Yeah. And pre-COVID, you had to sell that in a little bit more. But now everyone's just like, oh, yeah, Zoom and we can do this and Slack and yada, yada. Like, all right, easy. That's been great. And really, most of my work and most of my clients are outside of the state. I do a lot of work within the action sports industry. And that primarily is based in California. You know, we have like Burton Snowboards here in Vermont and Rome Snowboards here in Vermont and Darn Tough Socks and stuff like that. But for the most part, there's a lot of brands that are based on the West Coast, I should say. So it's been a little hard to like break into like the local brands. I've done work with Burton and Rome and Darn Tough, and I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. A lot of times the budgets aren't there. With some of these local, more regional projects.
Totally.
And the one thing that I have just found year after year, and the more every project I go through, the more knowledge I gain. But no matter what, a 3D project that if you need 5 seconds of animation or 30 seconds of animation, there's just the prep time to get to animation is a lot. So, you know, that goes back to part of the education of like, okay, this is, you're asking for this. Your budget is $5,000 and you want a Pixar movie. Okay. So how are we going to make this? How am I going to, you know, gently tell you that that's not possible? Right. So a lot of that is more or less, you know, just trying to qualify some of the leads as well and trying to do that more upfront. And sorry, a little scatterbrained here, but going back to like the education and feeling burned, it made me realize I need to spend more time qualifying anything before I invest more mental load into it.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Because I think we've had even similar experiences on our end. We've had times where like we worked with a client once and then like kind of assumed that the next project around like would be like a similar kind of tone or, and so like there were times where we used to just accept a project before reading the script. And now we're like, okay, we've vetted that out. Because I think it's like, we need to be able to see what it is that you're trying to say before we just commit to like, yeah, we're on board with this idea too. So it's, you never know when, like, I think to your point earlier, just like, we kind of make those mistakes as we go through the process. And then that's how we learn, that's how we grow. And totally. That's how we like set the boundaries that are healthy for everybody. So it's, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Some of the education portion. So I used to teach animation as just an adjunct and a visiting assistant professor, but I taught 3D. And I'm curious as to what that education portion, I know maybe you want to keep that close to the chest, but like very broadly speaking, what are the things that like people miss? Because like, you know, there's modeling and kind of, you know, folks kind of maybe understand what that is. Oh, mm-hmm. Models. They'll say like, oh, we have a CAD thing. But can I just give you my CAD model? Well, yes, but no, because
totally
right. There's so much more work involved in that.
And then there's like materials. I got to build these materials. It's going to be in this environment. Okay, well, what is that?
You know,
well, how is that different from textures? You know,
to add to that too, there's also like terminology challenges, right? There's like, we were talking with a website designer the other day, and Amy Scott, she's wonderful. She used the word rendering, and like she's talking about it from like conceptualizing something to the client, and I'm like, oh, but rendering for me is like
that did trigger me a little bit, but it is do render in web as well. So in my head, I was like, you're not wrong, but like my brain was like, it's a 3D render. It's a 3D render.
Yeah. So that I'm curious if that comes up too. If clients come with some predetermined knowledge, but maybe that terminology is off, or like what they're describing as like a storyboard is actually concepts or things of that nature.
Totally. Yeah. All of the above for sure. And like when it comes to education on my end, I try to steer away from like too much technical jargon, because I know that will just go over their head, but more or less relating it to like, okay, we can take your CAD file. It doesn't just automatically show up at this in this beautiful, you know, scene with beautiful textures. That's just step one. You're essentially giving us blueprints, right? And those blueprints, we could, you know, sometimes they're pretty good and you can work with them pretty well. Or a lot of times you need to go and remodel things and whatnot. So a lot of it is more of like our workflow rather than like the technical part of it. But similar to what I mentioned about earlier, and like equating it to other processes that people might know, like building a house. Of it's like, all right, we have these revisions in place and these certain milestones, because once we pass this, if you want to add that room to your house, okay, we can do that, no problem, but it's gonna be a change order. We're gonna have to rescope it, and you know, so trying to relate it outside of like animation or even outside of a screen sometimes makes it a little bit more digestible for the client. There's so many like detail that goes into it. And honestly, I try to have some of these conversations, right? Like in that discovery call, in that initial call, because if we're asking these questions later on, like we've already kind of missed the boat, right? And like now we're inviting scope creep and all the things that come along with it.
I like the idea of trying to like prevent not inviting scope creep in.
Well, honestly, some of the realization I've had over the last even few months is like I need to spend a lot more time in that initial call, in that initial mindset, than I have previously, because I think we all get excited when someone comes to you with a project, right? And you're like, yes, I want to make this work, this sounds great. Easy to kind of get blinded by the light, right? And so having to dive deeper into why they need it. Are you sure you need it? And these are all things that as you work through each project, you understand why these questions are more important.
Yes.
I've heard other business owners talk about qualifying leads and you need to like try to kill the engagement and all these things, like retreat and follow, retreat and follow. And I was always of the mindset of like, yeah, I mean, okay, in theory, I guess that worked. But now I totally get it, because it's like, okay, well, if they're going to keep coming after you and want to know, and they don't want to kill the project. They want to work with you. You're telling them you're too expensive. They still want to work with you. Okay, now you have a qualified lead, right? Now these people really trust you as the expert. They want you to execute the vision, and they're seeing you as a partner and not just a vendor.
Yeah, so let's shift gears a little bit. So the Motion Mondays thing I described as creative AA. And you said you were doing it for what, 7 years now with like a year of hiatus?
Yeah, we started in like 2018. Yeah.
Okay, so
pretty wild to think.
I feel like you running those means to some capacity that you have some information that maybe no one else has, because these are creative folks who are coming to your door and kind of releasing some of their struggles, the things that they're dealing with all the time. Mm-hmm. And so my question to you would be like, what kinds of issues are you noticing that are happening in the freelancer community at this moment? Because a lot of them are freelancers, I think. Some of them work in-house, some of them work for brands, you know, things like that. But
just to add to that question, I think there's this idea that like freelancers are dealing with different challenges, slightly different than like a studio owner might be. But they also have some very common like threads between them. And I'm sort of curious on the freelancer side too. Like, you know, what have you noticed on the client side? Like clients could be doing better to support the freelancers through what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And even studio owners, what could studio owners do to support freelancers? Because like freelancers also don't want to be just seen as a vendor or a transaction.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm kind of curious there.
Yeah. So if a few things that have kind of bubbled to the surface, I would say even over the past like 6 months or so, has been one, the struggles of trying to find work. I think we're coming off a few years of, you know, a pretty nice boom in animation, you know, when live action shut down for COVID and people were leaning into animation because that's really the only option they had at that point. People were throwing a lot of money around and it was really easy to get jobs. People were double, triple booking themselves. And like, from my perspective too, the entire ecosystem was just flush with money. It wasn't just brands. It was studios that had all these PPP loans to like offset labor costs. Yeah. And it's essentially, if you didn't use that money, you would lose it, right? So you had all these people like dumping money into freelancers and contractors and, you know, quote unquote workers. So the industry, I think, was very flush with money. And that was across like our industry, but then all the other brands, right? Like I work in outdoor and like outdoor was going nuts through COVID. People couldn't keep bikes in stock, you know? Mm. So this past year, I think, you know, our industry kind of like pulled back a little bit. It was a little bit harder to get work. I know, like, even in the outdoor industry, that contracted a bit too, you know. And so looking as well, like, globally, because our community is a global community, we have people from all over the world that join. That just the macro economy and the macroeconomic factors that were at play last year, with talks of recession and all these things, had these companies holding budgets and like freezing budgets or just not spending as much as they had in the past. And I think that freaked out a lot of people because it slowed work down, but then it had a lot of people like questioning their worth and like self-doubt. Yeah. I mean, I was going through it too. I'm like, wait, what the heck just happened here? Like, how is it this slow right now? Like, normally Q4 is bonkers for us. And last year it was really quiet. And so seeing that and talking with different artists about it and letting them know that this is kind of the ebb and flow of how things go. We just came out of like this massive boom. Of course, things will contract a little bit and it's going to feel like it's the end of the world. But honestly, it's probably back to how it was pre-COVID, right?
Right.
So like we have to kind of keep perspective with that. It's not just happening to like smaller shops like myself. It's happening to larger shops. People were not getting the budgets or not getting the approval for certain projects until right at the last second, and then scrambling to try to find artists. So there was a lot of like just weird inconsistencies last year. And the one theme that I saw pop up was just the struggles and kind of the self-doubt, whether or not this is the industry I want to work in. You know, is this the type of work I want to do? And so that was interesting kind of talking about that with people. And honestly, in my head, it was really hard for me too, because I was going through these struggles, but then people looking to us for like advice. I'm like, well, right, I'm going through this too. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
But just trying to like almost give myself advice and take my own advice of like, okay, big picture, we just came out of this boom. We're contracting a little bit. The world's a different place now. We have all these things at play. We have AI, we have remote working. We have, you know, we're now a global workforce. We've always been, but even more now with the remote work. So there's just so many factors at play. Not only that, I think in this, during the boom years, I think a lot of people raised rates to a point where they were swinging above their batting average, if you will, you know, like, you know, I put stuff out and I have freelancers send reels and like want to get up on jobs, and seeing some of the day rates coming through with like only tutorial work on it. And so I was like, what is happening?
Right, right.
You know? And yeah. So in a way, I think our industry kind of just got, you know, punched in the mouth a bit, and probably for a good reason. Like it humbled everybody a little bit, and it kind of brought people back down to reality. A lot of burnout, I would say, too, because the last few years people were double, triple booked. That now it's just like, I don't want to do this project now for half the price that it was 2 years ago, because it's half the price it was 2 years ago, or whatever it may be. I think what's led to that burnout too is through these down and slower times, people were like looking for outlets. What course should I take? What should I be doing? Like that kind of hustle mentality, the mental load of like, oh, I'm not getting hired because I must suck. So I must need, I need to go learn Procreate Dreams now. I need to go take this class on this. I need, and just like thing after thing after thing after thing. And it's like, well, I don't even have the mental capacity to sit in front of my computer for the next 8 hours and watch this course, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And kind of that whole rat race combined with self-doubt, I think really hit people hard this past year. I do want to say, though, it is, in my eyes, starting to come around in turn. I've seen the conversation shift to more positive things, positive topics. How do I bid out this project? How do I, so I think things are starting to come around, and I'm hoping that, you know, anyone who has struggled through this past year or whatnot can keep that, you know, light at the end of the tunnel mentality. And this is like the ebb and flows of our industry, and it happens all the time. It's just part of life, and it's part of the phases, and we have to just be comfortable with that.
And full transparency, I freak out every December. Every December. I'm like, it's the end of the year. We're not going to get any work in January. What's going to happen? And that's the same conversation I had with myself.
It's a cycle.
I talked to Catherine about it, and she's like, well, this happened last year, so let's just relax. Let's like...
Right, we're learning from this. We're making these decisions. Like, so, we still have runway. We're okay. Yeah. Like,
you know? So we're. I freak out all the time. Just let you know.
Being mindful of time too, I want to shift gears a little bit back towards this camp idea and about, you know, going back to getting outside and sort of deconstructing this idea of like trying to figure out how we not dissociate on screens. Let's get into nature. That's a great thing. Mm-hmm. Where do you see Camp MoGraph going? What do you like? Is it everything you want it to be right now? Is there more that you want camp to become? Like, what does that look like for the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a question that we are currently wrestling with ourselves. And a lot of people plan for like the 3 to 5 years out. And so we're coming up on year five. And it's just been an incredible ride with camp. And we absolutely love it. It's the one byproduct that I never, ever saw coming was that it would really expand my Rolodex of artists I know and people I can work with and studio owners I can ring up and talk with and
podcasts you could be on. Like
podcasts I could be on, you know, all the things.
Huge podcast. You know, huge.
But just, yeah, I never expected that to kind of come of it. And so that's been a very nice like byproduct of the whole thing. But it's hard to keep this thing going every year because it doesn't make money. I mean, it makes a very nominal amount, like small amount, enough for us to like feel good about ourselves because we can make a little bit of money, but like not much. It's a big undertaking because like the day after camp ends, we start planning the next one. Like,
right, right.
Because it would make sense for us to like take time off and really appreciate everything we just did and, you know, really kind of celebrate that. But we're so fired up. We're so excited that we just dive right into it, you know? And the way camp has the size and the production now that camp is at, it does take about a full year of planning to do, especially since we are doing it on the side as like personal project stuff. So yeah, we're trying to see what we want to do with it. We love the summer camp vibe. We love being outside. We love the small and intimate groups that we're able to provide and that experience for people. But I think there's probably some other things to explore, whether it's even smaller groups and doing them in like bizarre locations or like, I don't know. We've had a little bit of chatter about doing like a hard camp MoGraph, which in my head, we hire a couple people from Knowles or Outward Bound and we like go trek across the Appalachian Trail for a few days and, or whatever, So I think there's a lot of different ways we can take it, but as long as we can keep the community at the forefront, keep smaller groups, and honestly keep the mindset of like just providing that safe space for people to show up, ask questions. There's no dumb questions, have hard conversations. Well, I hope by providing that we can move the industry forward by, you know, talking about DIE. Is it DIE? DEI?
DEI.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably not die, is it? but, but, you know, so there's all these things that we just want to make sure is cultivated within our camp atmosphere, but also within our industry as well, because I'm a firm believer that we can move the needle a bit if we have these hard conversations in person. Where you can't just like disconnect and like leave that conversation. You could walk away, but that might feel a little weirder than just hit an end, you know?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, we had very real conversations throughout CamoGraph that like, and I think it's a testament to the idea that like, you know, every time CamoGraph rolls around, like tickets sell out in what, minutes?
Yeah. Like, yeah. We're so fortunate.
Yeah, because there's a definite need and a desire to have conversation and to like be connected and to get off our screens. And like, so like the demand is there for sure. But I also recognize that on the back end of that, what does that look like from building out something for the long term that is sustainable?
Yeah.
Because I think that's even as an owner, it's that idea of like, how do you build something that stands the test of time or that like, I can step away from at some point and know that like it's in good hands.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are very real challenges.
Yeah. And that's what's been one of our largest challenges recently is that we are so lucky to have a community of people that love camp so much that they want to do whatever they can to be involved. Mm-hmm. Since we're all most like pretty much volunteering time, it's really hard for me to delegate tasks. Like, I need the new website built, right? I can't say, hey, Will, I know you want to volunteer and I know you can build websites. Can you build our website? Or can you do these social posts? Because what happens if when you get busy, well, that's your priority. Mm-hmm. And if I've given you all this responsibility to create our website and it needs to go live, but now you're busy, I have no like leg to stand on to say, hey, Will, I really need that, you know? So it's been one of those things for us that we've wrestled with, because I love making the website. I love making the little zine thing and flexing that creative muscle. But when push comes to shove, sometimes time is the X factor, right? And right. And yeah, not necessarily having the capital to really like hire a website studio to come in and make us a badass website, you know? There's certain like limitations there. And then maybe limitations on in my own head of not wanting to ask people to do certain things, because I know it's a volunteer thing and I know people are looking for work. And if work comes in, that is the priority. So I don't want to like have too many things up in the air that are necessarily relying on that, you know?
Yeah. I think the volunteer challenge is a challenge just everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it stands the test of time, so to speak. I've been on volunteer boards. I've been in volunteer, like, you know, on, as a volunteer, I'll start it. So I'll be like, oh, like, if you need anything, just let me know.
Right.
And then they might take a mile out of that and be like, oh, well, can you do these like 7 things? And I'm like, okay, well, I said I'd help, but like, there's totally a line here somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. And so I think there's like, I don't know what it is that, but I totally get that feeling of like, with volunteering also comes a sense of accountability, but how do you build that in when it's just a volunteer position? I think a lot of creatives deal with this when they're trying to make short films happen. Yes. And everyone's committing their own time. I've done that before. And so, yeah, it's, I don't know if there's ever been like an easy solution to that, but I get where it's coming from.
Yeah.
I will mention there have been some successful volunteer companies. Wikipedia is a big one. Mozilla, mm-hmm. Firefox is another one. So it is possible. This has happened.
There's
so,
gotta be a better way. Yeah.
So I would just look into their origin stories, because I think it does take a little bit of your like letting go of your own fears. I think you're talking about like, I don't wanna ask, because I don't wanna get into that place where I feel bad about, you know, coming back. And I think I think that's all internal, right? There are some people who are out there who are like, oh my God, I really wish I could work on this website.
right.
So, you know, I don't know. Sure. It's just it's one of those things. But I do want to keep in mind time. Yeah. We're a little over of our thing. Yeah. But Mark, thank you so much for coming on.
Of course.
Well, yeah. So I'd love to ask, like, where can people reach out and like connect with you, especially for all the different endeavors you have? How can they follow the work that you're doing? Where can people go?
Yeah. So Profanity Creative, you can find at profanity.tv, profanity.creative on Instagram. If you want to reach out to me through there, it's just mark@profanity.tv. And then Camp MoGraph, if you want to learn more about that, it's just campmograph.com. And this year, I forgot to mention too, we have another camp. We're doing 2 camps, because why not?
Yes.
And why not do it on the other side of the world? Yes.
Yeah. In Australia, no less.
Yeah. Lesson learned there. If you do another camp, don't do it on like the opposite side of the world, because finding meeting times really hard. But campmograph.com, and we're going to be launching the new website like this week, hopefully. So you can find more info there. But for the Camp MoGraph Australia camp, that's campmograph.com.au. So that is an Australian URL. And then if you want to join Monday meetings, you can go to mondaymeeting.org. And you can contact us through that, or join the live meeting at 10 a.m. Eastern time on Mondays. And then traditionally, we try to get the recording out the next day. And that gets posted on all the different pod catchers of choice. We post through Spotify because they make it really easy. But yeah, you can find those episodes there. Some great content even from years ago with some interviews and stuff. So feel free to dig through some of that archive. But yeah, I think that's pretty much all the links.
Awesome.
Yeah. I was going to say, just for you know, a name like Profanity, you have not sworn once. I was waiting for some, like, an F-bomb or something.
Yeah. Well, I want to be respectful of your podcast, right. Will. And
oh, we swear. Sorry. Should have mentioned that right off the bat. But yeah, okay. So I have one final question, which is circling all the way back, which is, where is your best location for skiing and snowboarding in New England? Go.
Mm. Ooh. That's...
No pressure.
Boy, that's changed in the last. I will say this: best terrain on the east, I still firmly believe, is Stowe.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
But I don't like Stowe anymore because they're part of the Vail Mountain Resorts group now, and they kind of ruined that mountain. There's quite a few stickers around here with it. It's like the Disney stick. It's Disney Resorts, but it says Vail Resorts. But they have phenomenal terrain. Nothing you can really find anywhere else. A close second would be Smuggler's Notch, which is essentially across the road from Stowe. And then Jay Peak is also up there too. They get massive amounts of snow. They're up by the Canada border, and they get smashed with snow. So if you're a powder chaser or something, that's definitely a spot to go check out. Yeah. But I've been to all I've been to all the other spots too. So, but I would say those would be my top. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's good to know. Yeah. We're one of these that within the next 2 years, I'm making it, you know, happen that we're getting Will out on the slopes at some point.
Let's do it.
Gotta happen.
Let's do it. We'll you a sled if you want. It doesn't matter. Like, you just slide down the snow with us. Yeah, exactly.
We can go tubing. We'll have a good time. It'll be great.
Yes.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time out of your day. Of course, thank you. I really appreciate it. This was really insightful. So I think there's going to be a lot. We'll have a part two at some point.
Yeah, awesome.
To be continued. Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate fellow creatives. You inviting me on and having me and being such a great champion of the camp, Camp MoGraph, and your experience there, and Monday meeting stuff as well. Thanks for being parts of those communities. And we really appreciate it.
Yeah. Awesome. Look forward to collaborating. So
yeah, let's do it.
It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you again.
Of course. Bye.
This episode was brought to you by E Media. Our producer is Jackson Foote. Our music was created by Hidden and licensed through premiumbeat.com. And until next time,
stay honest,
stay creative,
stay open.
Open Pixel Studios, we will see you in the next episode.
Bye.